We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com, joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. We heard from David Stearns. We're going to talk to Adam. I want to talk to you guys about the trade deadline stuff, which we'll get into with Adam in a minute. As David Stearns again talking yesterday. But regarding this game, I thought that was a very un-Craig Council-like thing to say. It's David's inning. We're going to give David that inning. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but just didn't sound like Craig to me.
No. It didn't sound like expanded rosters Craig Council at all. A couple of things, though. One, he has been clear that this season, I think is how he said it, they envision using Hader more for one-inning stints. I think that has to do with who they have behind him, that they have, you know, Phelps has been as good as you can possibly be as a relief pitcher, and so has Devin Williams. And, you know, Brent Suter has not been as great this year, but he's also been, you know, pretty useful as a sixth, seventh-inning type role. So they have really good options next to Josh Hader. And the other thing, I think they're just really nervous about the quick ramp up. You know, Josh Hader, we've been through this many times, Bart, that Josh Hader, you know, the bounce back with Hader is not the same as it is with other pitchers. And I think that there is concern about the fact that everything got ramped up so quickly. He just didn't have the time to get the foundation under him that a pitcher would get during a normal spring training. And I think they're trying to be somewhat protective and not go for these two-inning, 50-pitch stints. And that has something to do. And I think there's evidence of that, Bart, when you look at the velocities. I wrote last week about how his results are like, impossibly good. But the velo is not what it was last season. And I think maybe that's a sign that he's just not quite physically where he would be had he had a full 6 weeks to ramp back up. And I think those factors combined led to this sort of un-Craig Council-like statement about how that was going to be Phelps's inning.
I think that, you know, this season has been very difficult for a lot of these guys, obviously, with all the challenges and how different it is. There was a picture that we used to kind of showcase the game on all of our social media when promoting the post-game show yesterday of Council just kind of having his head in his hand. And it seemed like a perfect pitcher for the moment. I just feel like this season it just seems to be weighing on him. And all of these guys, like, more than ever, I would imagine they know, like, he's having conversations. You know, Brock Holt to DFA him, and Brock's had a tough decision. You know, he's got to play to keep his career going, but also his wife is at home pregnant and he's got a young child. It just seems like there's a lot of people that are thinking about the families, and you have to. I feel like this is grating on Council a little bit.
Well, I agree with you that this is, I think, more difficult than people understand because of the family concerns. But I will also say, I would say that maybe that's 20% of it, and the other 80% is they're not hitting. And the worst thing in baseball is a team that's not hitting because they look like they don't care. And, you know, look, again, I promise you they care. And I promise you that everybody thinks that this sucks, that they just got swept by the Pirates. And they don't want to lose these games. They're here. they're, you know, traveling in the midst of a pandemic. They might as well try to win. And I think they are trying to win. But when you're not hitting, you look lackadaisical. You look sloppy. A ball like, you know, that gets through Arcia in the early innings yesterday looks lazy. Everything looks bad. The manager has his head in his hand. All of that stuff happens when you're not hitting. And the cure for it is a week where you really hit. And they're coming home now to Miller Park. They've been bad at Miller Park in this, you know, with 8 games, 2-6. A lively homestand. Get, you know, string together some big innings, which they've done at times, just not enough of them. I think will change, can change the whole outlook. And that's the whole thing. And David Phelps said this yesterday. In this condensed season, the bad is magnified, but the good can also be magnified. Where you put together a good 4-game series against a Reds team where the fans are just as down as Brewers fans are right now about the Brewers, put together a good 4 games, and the whole outlook changes. I think the good can be, you know, 2.7 times as magnified as well. The Brewers just haven't been able to string games like that together.
You know, as we talked to Adam McKelvey here, Brewers.com, MLB.com, we've talked when the Brewers were 11-15 before, but that was in the third week of April with the trade deadline months away. And now here it is next week. The trade deadline, they're trying to keep everybody quarantined and everybody in their own little bubbles. I have a hard time. A guy's going to get traded from a team to team. And he's just on their team. He doesn't have to, like, quarantine or anything.
I don't know.
It just seems unsafe.
It does. And it's one of the inconsistencies of many in this whole thing, right? That, you know, they're masking and separated in the dugout, and they're taking all these extreme steps. They're eating lunch up on the concourse. They're doing everything they possibly can, and then they're all getting on an airplane. You know, I mean, there's inconsistencies. You try to be to have as many protocols in place as possible to prevent the thing from getting in your door. And then you take steps if it does get in your door to try to keep it to the individuals that have tested positive and not spread. But then there are instances like this where it's not perfect. And my understanding is that if a guy gets traded, he just goes to his team. There's not like a week quarantine or anything like that, because a week is a quarter of the time that you've acquired him for. So you can't sit out a week. It is strange. It is inconsistent. It is somewhat illogical. But that is just the way it is, I guess.
You know, with the trade deadline being next week, and I might even ask you the same thing next Monday. Is it even worth it for any of these teams? Even if the Brewers are buying or selling, is it even worth it to make a trade for a month?
It's a great question, and it's a question that these GMs are all wrestling with. And it's making a trade, like, say you're getting somebody who is, like, typically a lot of the guys traded are free agents to be, right? Drew Pomerantz was a great pickup for the Brewers last year, who was a free agent to be. Well, you know, if you're trading that guy, you get him for 1 month, and you're acquiring theoretically a prospect in return that you haven't had scouts have eyes on. You're relying on some video exchange that some clubs reportedly are taking part in, or past scouting reports from previous seasons. So there's risk, like, on both sides of this thing in order to make a trade, and it makes it, I think, really difficult to make trades. There are many factors that make it really difficult. The other one, I think, is a big one, is who are the sellers? Like, where are the Brewers last year found a seller in the San Francisco Giants, and they made that deal. Who are this year's San Francisco Giants? Maybe the Giants are one of them, but I mean, the Marlins are pretty good. They're looking reportedly to add. The Orioles are pretty good. You know, you've got with 16 playoff teams, everybody is in it. And probably everybody's looking to make kind of a low risk trade to bring in some fresh blood to their team. And when everybody is looking to do that, it makes it hard to make a trade. And it's why what David Stern said yesterday, he believes the most likely trades are going to be major league for major league, where it's a trade like that Padres trade that he made last Thanksgiving, which hasn't worked out for the Brewers so far, admittedly. And we asked him about that yesterday, and it's in my story about the trade deadline on Brewers.com. But you know, you'll have to try to deal from an area of depth on one team for an area of depth on the other team in order for each club to get what they want. And those trades can happen. They're certainly possible. And they have happened before at the deadline, but they are, you know, they're tricky in their own way. So for all of those many reasons, it's going to be really hard to make trades, and nobody knows what to expect. It's 3 p.m. our time 1 week from today, and absolutely nobody knows what it's going to look like.
Yeah, and it's hard to even guess. You know, you got a lot of teams like the Brewers, so
Brewers are like, well, go ahead. But the one thing I'll say is David Stearns did say there was a lot of chatter. So that's good, because that's changed from a couple of weeks ago where the GMs were all just focused on getting their teams on the field, keeping their teams on the field amid COVID. Now, at least the talks of trades have begun, and talks plus deadline usually equals action.
You know, they're a couple of games out from the second place spot, which gets them in the playoffs this year. They're still, you know, they're not too far behind if you take a look at the whole division. Even, you know, I don't know what we expect this week. They got four against the Reds and they play the Pirates again. You would expect them to still be within some sort of striking distance. If not, maybe they have a good week and they're back in. If the playoffs ended today, they'd be one of the top eight seeds. But yeah, you're right. I mean, who is going to sell? I think if you're the Brewers, you got to look at, like, can we win a World Series? And for a lot of different reasons, even in a flunky year where it's just does not seem like a World Series team to me. I know a lot of people are watching these games, having less fun watching these games, and that could go back to the lack of hitting, but it seems like the talent from a year ago to this year is quite a gap.
I really believe that a lot of it has to do with the hitting part, because you look at the San Diego Padres, and they are certainly having fun, and their fans are certainly having fun, even though they can't be in the stands right now. And it's because they're hitting all these grand slams.
Yeah.
And look, the Brewers here, they have their longest homestand, 10 games. They traditionally have been a very good team at home. And as far as the trade deadline, who knows what they'll do? They need the guys that they have to hit a little bit. And they don't need to be Yasmani Grandal or Mike Moustakas. They don't need to get 30 home runs from third base. They're not going to get it in a 60-game season regardless. But they can't have everybody on the roster below their career norms. That's, you know, people can say, well, this is a failure of David Stearns to build a team and they went cheap. Those are fair criticisms after they let some pretty good free agents go. But you also have to recognize that the players they have track records. These are not like unproven guys that you have no idea what you're going to get and you're rolling the dice. These are players with significant track records, and almost to a man, they're all hitting remarkably under those norms. So that's not sustainable. The question is, can the numbers catch up in a short 60-game season? And I don't know the answer to that, but part of the solution for this team might just be these guys just performing better. The players they have performing even average for their career would make this a somewhat formidable team, because I don't think a lot of clubs would want to face the Brewers in the postseason if they're hitting a tiny little bit, because they've got some answers for you on the pitching side. I mean, they've got some encouraging things happening. You know, obviously this Pirates series was not a good example of that. Yesterday was the first game they blew after the sixth inning. They were 9-0, and yesterday was the first one they blew. So they've got some good arms at the back end. They've got some really good answers in the middle of games with Freddie Peralta and maybe Corbin Burns in a postseason series. And they've got, you know, a guy like Brandon Woodruff at the front, you know, who's furious at himself on the road trip when he gets into a jam in the fifth inning and gives up a couple of runs. I mean, he's in a good place when he's so mad at himself over a game that really wasn't a blow-up game. So on the pitching side, they're not a team that I think a lot of clubs would want to see in a postseason series. But in order to get there, you got to hit a little bit. You got to score more than four runs. And you got to score in the first couple of innings every now and then and give your pitchers a chance to take a breath.
Yeah, always playing from behind, it does take a toll on you eventually. Adam McKelvey.
And I think, Bart, that's another thing that's weighing on fans, is they're behind all the time. They're not hitting and they're behind all the time. And it is, you know, I can imagine it's probably not all that much fun to watch. But look, again, the David Phelps rule, everything's magnified, and that's not just the bad stuff. A good week here at home, maybe we're sitting here Monday and it's a different conversation.
Another thing weighing on fans is those that bought a cardboard cutout in the 400 level, like me, haven't seen their cardboard cutout on TV yet. So I just...
Well, if that is the concern, then I would say we're all in a pretty good shape as a nation.
We're not. That's a very minor concern. I do want to, just because, you know, combing through some of the mentions about, you know, the post-game shows we have over the weekend, and a common thing that I've seen from fans is, to go back to Josh Hader, if we're not going to use Josh Hader like we used to, why don't we just trade him? Would there be any possibility that the Brewers move Josh Hader?
Well, I didn't even see the story on the site. I didn't look closely enough, but we had to do, we each submitted one bold prediction per team, and mine was, you know, trade Josh Hader. And I said, I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, there's an argument for it. I think he's, you know, he had that contentious arbitration case, which he won. So he's at prorated $4.1 million. That salary is going to go up next year.
They're never
going to go up the year after that.
They don't want to pay him. They're never going to pay him, ever. I don't ever think they want to pay him.
But I mean, do you want to sign him to a 5-year deal? Are you confident that the velocity that you're seeing this year is not a sign of something coming? And, you know, there's risk involved with every reliever. And I would say there's risk involved with more risk involved with max effort relievers. And I would say Josh Hader is a max effort reliever. And, you know, he's built different, again, than other relievers. And he's also the best reliever in terms of strikeouts, the best reliever ever, the highest strikeout rate in the history of the sport. So he's unique in so many different ways. And look, it's not a crazy thought, because is his value ever going to be higher? Again, I don't think they're going to do it. I think he's such a weapon, and he's still relatively cost controlled for 3 more years after this one. And it's such a luxury to have him to build around in your pen. But it's not an insane idea to wonder what you might be able to get for him. Like, could the Brewers finally solve first base? Could the Brewers, you know, finally find something long term at third base? Probably for Josh Hader. And that would open you up to trading with anybody. A team that's in win now mode would love to have Josh Hader at the back of their bullpen. So it's intriguing to think about the possibilities. Again, I don't think it's likely, but it's not impossible.
Hey, not to eat up your whole morning, but do you like, now that you're like not on the road, do you like having to watch Angling Buzz during a rain delay?
No, you know what? I was watching the Sunday political shows yesterday during the rain delay. I had them all TiVo'd, and I don't know which is better, fishing or political shows, but I actually missed the first 3 batters of the game because I didn't see any kind of alert that the game had started. So if somebody could fill me in on how Yelich got, I think he walked. This is not great. I mean, I miss being at the ballpark, and it's so, like, the players are having a hard time getting up, right? I mean, like, they're having to actively, like, work to get up for these games and create this energy. It's the same for us covering these games. I don't know, Bart, if it's the same for you on the pre and post when you've done them. Like, it's, you have to like generate a little bit of like enthusiasm, because it's all weird. So I'm certainly looking forward to, well, I'm looking forward to the homestand getting out there again, but even more looking forward to getting back to some semblance of normal where there's a real buzz in the park and there's fans in the stands and it feels like an event. That's what's missing this year.
Adam, appreciate your time. We will see you at the park eventually.
Yep, sounds good. See you, Bart.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.